Hey everyone, welcome back to the Save to Serve podcast. It is your host, Sasha Elise. The first two episodes, I forgot to introduce myself, so I do apologize. I'm still getting used to everything and how this works. We are now on episode 3. Today, we are going to be talking about, and the reason I'm saying we is because it's me. The Holy Spirit is here, okay? So today we're going to be talking about redemption. If you are new here or you are listening just to hear what I've got to say, but you are not a follower of Christ, I think it's really important for people to understand what Jesus actually came to do and the power of Jesus. This episode may not be for everyone, but I pray that every single person watching this is able to take away something from this. How I want to kickstart this is with a question. And that question is, do you feel like you are too deep in your sin, that you've made too many mistakes, that accepting and believing that there is a God who will forgive you for those mistakes, and you are not forgiven by your works and by what you can do for him, but just because he is a merciful father, then this episode, I believe, is really going to bless you, because redemption is for everyone. Also, I don't think I've addressed the iPad, so I like to make notes on my iPad. Depending on how you listening to this, you obviously won't see the iPad, but this is where the iPad's there, because I'm someone who, even when I've done the same drive, I can do the same drive like 100 times, and I still have to use Waze to get to that destination. I'm that person, which is really bad. So the way my brain works when it comes to memorizing scriptures and things of that sort, I really struggle, and it's not even funny. Like, it's something that I have to pray about, because I will remember the scripture, but if I have to remember the book and the verse, that's not going to happen. So this just helps me, and it helps me to just draw myself back to what I was talking about, because yeah, my mind sometimes, I like to go off on a tangent. Anyway, as I was saying, so redemption in itself, what is redemption? And redemption ultimately means to rescue or to buy back. So as Christians, we believe that Jesus, through his life, death and resurrection, paid the price for our sins with his life, with his blood. And what that did was it freed us from the shame, the stain of sin, and allowed us to enter into a relationship with God. And this is where the iPad comes in. So Romans 3:23-24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ," or by Christ Jesus. And so, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So just going back to the very beginning, and I mentioned this in episode 1, I believe, but when God created us, he was with us. We was in that walking relationship with him, but the sin separated us from God. And this is where Christ comes in. So the sin separated us from God, and because he is a holy and righteous God, he cannot dwell where sin is. And because we are naturally born into sin, he had to separate himself from us. And so because sin is hidden deep in our hearts, and this is every single person, no matter how many good deeds you do, no matter how much you give to charity, no matter how much you feed the homeless, sin is hidden in the hearts of man. Disclaimer, if you say you have a personal relationship with God, or you have a relationship with God, or you know God, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm sorry, then you are deceiving yourself. We deceive ourselves when we think that we know God and we have a relationship with him. I've been there, I've done it. I convinced myself, nobody could tell me otherwise, that I didn't have a relationship with God. It's only now, through having a relationship with Jesus, I realize how terribly wrong I was. Terribly wrong. And that is one thing that, you know, this world is good at, and Satan is good at. He is good at deceiving us. The thing about our good works is, our good works cannot cancel sin. Sin is so bad, and it goes against who God is. By its nature, sin needs to be punished. It has to be punished. And that punishment is death. And so that means every single one of us carry a debt that we cannot pay, because we by ourselves cannot get rid of sin. We cannot cancel out the sin that's in our hearts. We need Jesus to step into our lives and change us from the inside out. And that is the beauty of Jesus Christ. He is a living God. He is a God who transforms. And although Jesus is close to the brokenhearted, he is close to the people that have fallen into an absolute pit. And it's easy for him to rescue those people out. There are people that think they're not sinners. You know, they've maybe gone their whole lives and got good grades in school, been a good child, got married, had children, and have lived a pretty, you know, good and decent life. But it's only when you measure up your version of good and decent to the version of good and decent in the Bible, you will realize just how much hidden sin you have inside of you. We all have hidden sins in our lives. Some are more obvious than others. Some have deeper consequences than others. But coming to that realization that every single one of us are sinners, you know, it's not just the people that wear their brokenness, you know, on the outside. Jesus didn't come just for those people. He came for everyone. And in his word, when it says he didn't come for those who are righteous, he came for those who are sinners. He's not saying that some are righteous and some are sinners. He's just saying people can think and convince themselves that they are righteous, and that's not the people that he's came after. If you think that you are righteous and you think that you are okay, Jesus is not, he's not going to come after you. But I just want to make everyone aware that, you know, Jesus is for everyone. There is no one that is above or too good for Jesus. We all collectively need Jesus. So many of us can be convinced by other religions, by other ways of seeking God, by worshipping Mother Nature and all these other things. And we believe that if we do enough good, then we're okay. But the problem with that is we still have this debt of sin. We still have the debt of all of our past sins, all of our current sins, and all of our future sins that need repayment. And as I said, that repayment is death alone. And that is why we need divine intervention, because without that, we're stuck. We're stuck with this debt that we can't pay. There's no way that we can eradicate this debt, because sin is so vast. It's so wide. We are born into it, and so naturally it is within us. You know, in the Old Testament, the way that people would atone for their sins, the way that people would need to be forgiven for their sins, was through animal sacrifice. Blood was always needed to be forgiven for our sins. That is how severe sin is. That's how severe it is in us. That blood was always needed. Okay, so Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a free gift that is offered to us through Christ Jesus. And so when Jesus stepped down, stepped into our humanity, when he became one of us and lived amongst us, he took our place in death and he broke the power of it. He broke the power of death. He broke the power of that judgment. He broke the power of what we deserve. And his redemption means that we are no longer defined by our past mistakes. We are no longer defined by all the sins that we had committed. We are no longer defined by that shame that we carry. We are no longer defined by the guilt that we carry. He took all of that and he carried it to the cross for you, for me, for everyone. When he went to that cross and he endured what he endured, he did that so we didn't have to carry this no more, so we didn't have to walk around stuck and in bondage with our sin. And this is why it really stresses me out when we as Christians act as though we can continue to live in sin, because that is not correct. It's so far from accurate. And it's such a misrepresentation of who Jesus is. We cannot go on living in sin once we understand who Jesus is and what he did for us. Just naturally, just by the way that it works. Because for me, when Jesus stepped into me, I could know that sin, I couldn't sin the same. Sin wasn't, it wasn't enjoyable. It wasn't fun anymore. And while certain, you know, when a bit of a backstory, so when I first got saved, around 6 months into being saved, I went to a nightclub, and things like that may have briefly been enjoyable. Getting drunk, you know, that numbs you and that clouds your judgment. It clouds you from reality. And so in the moment, it was like, oh, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it. And so, you know, there's certain things that take longer than the other for you to stop actually feeling like they're enjoyable. But the closer I got to God, the more I was like, absolutely not. This is not fun. There's nothing fun with me knowing what I know now. There's nothing fun with being in a room full of people that are drunk, that are trying to numb themselves from the reality of life, that need alcohol to be entertained, knowing that this whole room full of people do not know Jesus, and that in their current state, they are headed into eternal damnation. There is nothing funny about that. Like, nothing. There's nothing fun. I don't miss that at all. I couldn't actually think of anything worse. I couldn't think of being in a worse situation. But that comes with growth. It comes with knowing and understanding who Jesus is. So if you are in a place where you are struggling with wanting to go out, this isn't me condemning you. This is me just showing you that when you first get saved, there's certain things that may try and pull you back in, that may try and deceive you into thinking you've made the wrong decision. But I can assure you, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you read his word, the more you spend time with him, the more you consecrate yourselves, you begin to detest those things. You don't want anything to do with them because you see just how much those things separate us from God, separate us from reality, separate us from truth. And the thing is, even though Jesus took our place in death, continuing to live in sin as Christians, we understand that yes, we are forgiven, yes, we are redeemed. However, it doesn't erase the consequences of our actions. It doesn't erase the memory of our sin in other people and in ourselves. And so it doesn't mean, even though there is no guilt and there is condemnation, there is no condemnation for those in Christ, are we still found guilty by the world and by the people that we hurt? Probably, until they forgive. Are we still sometimes found guilty, and do we sometimes shame ourselves? A lot of the time. I struggled with guilt, shame, and condemnation probably for the first 2 years of my salvation. Like, to the point where it actually made me ill. Because when you realize just how wicked your sin is, when you realize that, there is something, like, it's like your conscience just is absolutely just puffed up. And I don't mean in a bad way, but it's puffed up inside of you. And you are like, oh my goodness, what did I do? What have I done? For all these years, what have I been doing? And so you live in this state of almost like you don't recognize your old self. Well, I didn't. It's like, I didn't recognize that person. At the same time, I had compassion though, because people don't know what they don't know. And this is the view that I try and have with my parents. Because if you know better, then you should do better. We don't excuse ourselves and make excuses for our sin when we understand just how much it contributes to the downfall of the world that Jesus is trying to save us from. And, you know, I've made mistakes and I've contributed to that. And there's something that is so sneaky about certain sins. It will blind you to the deeper effects that it is having. And this is why there is no other life to be living outside of that with Christ. There's no other life to be living, because it's only a fully surrendered life to Christ. When you really recognize and understand these things, because when you are walking in the power of His righteousness and in the power of His holiness, you begin to see, you have eyes that see, you have ears that hear, you begin to see and understand things that you can't comprehend when you're living in sin. Anyway, yeah, it does annoy me when Christian, and if you're a new believer, I get it, like, you might not know certain things, but when Christians have been going for quite some time and they continue to just live in sin and act as though, you know, it is what it is, don't judge, don't be judgmental, like all that, you know, we have to start moving like we understand what God did for us. And if we don't understand, please, you know, continue listening to what I'm saying and take it in and study it for yourself and understand this the weight of what Jesus really did and what it means. And so in the shedding of Jesus's blood, what that does is it saves us once and for all. Once we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, the blood of Jesus, and this is why we pray, cover us in the blood of Jesus. Cover us. It's not just a saying. It's a literal thing, because His blood saves us. Blood cleanses us from the inside out. It cleanses us from that sin. It removes the stain of sin. As I said, when I first got saved, you know, when I understood and realized just the weight of all my sin before I got saved, like a few years before I got saved, the sin that was living inside of me was literally making me ill. It was making me sick, and that is what it does. Sin, guilt, shame, all these things, anger, bitterness, all those deep-rooted things, they make you sick. We want to be so quick to blame pharmaceuticals and to blame the government and to blame these people. We are killing ourselves with the sin. It is making us sick. It makes us ill. Mental illnesses, depression, psychosis, all these different things. We were so quick to blame this and this, and a lot of it can be resolved by removing the sin out of our lives. And that is just, that is a quick fix. By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and fully believing a lot of our sicknesses and our illnesses can be cured by the blood of Jesus. It is what his blood is for. It cleanses us. The blood also covers us. It is a covering. It is a layer of protection. It's a layer of healing. It's a layer of renewal. It empowers us. It empowers us to pray. It empowers us to fight spiritual battles. It empowers us to do the will of God. Our war is very, very, very spiritual. We don't do these things according to ourselves. We do these things because of the blood, because of the covering, because of the Holy Spirit. You know, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, which came to us as a result of Jesus shedding his blood. The most important one, the one that I can testify with, is it transforms us. I am not the same person that I was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, even last year. I am not the same person. The blood of Jesus has transformed me into a completely different person. And I could sit here and just write a list of all the ways in which I have changed and the time lengths and how, you know, Jesus kind of revealed things to me over time and how that changed me and how letting go of a certain sin, that is another thing. Oh my gosh. So sins are also linked. So even though something can seem like a small sin, right? I always like to think of it as like dominoes. So if one domino knocks over, that then knocks over another domino and another domino and another domino. And that is how we should look at sin. We sin, we might tell a little lie. That lie can then result in shame. It can result in guilt. It can result in hurting someone. That hurting someone can then result in them hurting someone, or it can result in them hurting themselves or hurting you. And once I realized that certain sins affect other sins, and how I realized this for myself was one of the biggest ones for me was sexual sin. And so sexual sin, that opens a door to so many other things. It can open the door to, for me, sexual sin opened the door to pornography. It opened the door to lies. It opened the door to shame. It opened the door to all of these different things. But when you eradicate it and you focus on Jesus, you become a new person. You are not in bondage by these things. You're not in bondage by lust. What does sexual sin do? It creates lust. It fuels the spirit of lust. It fuels these desires. You know? It perverts the original design that God had in mind. And usually what happens in whichever area that it is, when you get the victory over one sin and that is bound and that you were bound by, you start to realize other things get easier. God can work in your heart about other things. And, you know, the domino effect becomes the domino effect of Jesus transforming you. It's like, oh, he's transformed this. Now he's transforming this. Oh, he's healed this. Now he's healing this. Oh, he opened your eyes to this. Now he's healing your eyes to this. And the domino effect, instead of it going downwards and spiraling and just adding to a negative impact into the world, now there's testimonies and he's getting the glory. And you are becoming an overcomer, which he says that you are in his word. And now you're surrendering more. And now you're consecrated to him. And now you're having a positive impact in society and to those around you. And although, you know, that also comes with its challenges. It comes with being outcasted. It comes with being ridiculed. It comes with being called weird. It comes with being called a freak. It comes with so many things that the world can't necessarily understand. Jesus begins to get the glory. So his blood transforms us from the inside out. It's not something that we do by ourselves. And you know, we can, there's things that people do in the world, isn't there? There's, you know, people can go on a celibate. They can decide to be celibate. They can decide to stop smoking. they can decide to do things in their lives which are, you know, in and of themselves good things to do. But again, it doesn't erase the fact that we have a hidden sin problem in our hearts that God can see. We can lie to others, we can lie to ourselves, but we cannot lie to God. God sees all that is in our heart. Sometimes you might not even see what's in your heart because it's so hidden, but God does. And this is why it's so important that we have that relationship with him, that he is able to show us the issues of our heart, that he's able to cleanse us and make us new. Yeah, ultimately, sin puts a wall between us and God. And Jesus came and he teared down that wall so that we could have a relationship with God, so that we were no longer separated from God. Ephesians 1:7, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Through his blood, we are redeemed. When we take on the identity of Jesus, we are redeemed. And that is why we have to accept him as our Lord and Savior. Because when we accept him into our sinful hearts, that's when he can start to move. One thing, again, that the world likes to do is someone gets saved newly, and there's just all this pressure like, oh, you're still doing this and you got to do this and you got, no, the Bible says, come as you are. Come as you are, broken, still addicted to drugs, still addicted to alcohol, still addicted to porn, still wanting to go out and party. Come as you are, but don't stay that way. When I begin to reveal my goodness to you, when I begin to stretch your faith, when I begin to show you who I am, don't stay as you are. Listen and do the things required, and you will grow, and you will change, and you will elevate, and you will be living in the will of God. And when we come to Christ, we're new people. We are no longer our past. We're no longer our past. And as I said, we can't eradicate the consequences. And so sometimes those consequences follow us, and that can be very hard for some people to let go. Some people struggle the most with forgiving themselves, the most. And I've been there. It is hard. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. Believe that. Believe that. You might not feel it right away, but believe it. In Christ, you are a new creation. And God, over time, he is going to work in your heart. And sometimes people get radically saved and things just change and transform overnight in the blink of an eye. For other people, you know, it takes a while longer. But believe that. When you believe, it's a believing heart that God can use and God can work in. You have to believe what God says. We are made new in Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. God forbid if I was the same Sasha that was living in sin that the world glorified. And that's another thing. The world will glorify your sin because to them it makes sense. But God forbid that I was still that same Sasha. That same Sasha that had lust inside of her, that wanted attention from men, that same Sasha that was a lover of money, that same Sasha that gossiped and lied, that same Sasha that was stuck in sexual sin, who had a pornography addiction, that same Sasha that used to backbite people and talk down on people, that same Sasha that thought of self, 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 that same Sasha that thought she was good because she'd never killed anyone, that same Sasha that had abortions, that same Sasha, it doesn't make sense to the world. But when Jesus makes you a new creation, those old things, the old you has gone, it has passed away. You are a new creation. You no longer are a lover of sin. You no longer love the things that kept you bound. You walk in freedom. Because that is what Jesus gave us for free. You know, Jesus' blood, what he did for us, it offers hope. Hope to a humanity that feels broken and lost and like they can't you know, they are their past. They're divine. They are defined by their past. They're defined by the mistakes that they made. No, you are not. You are not defined by your past. You're not defined by the mistakes you made. If you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you are no longer defined by those decisions that you made. You can be new. No one is too far gone for Jesus. No one. And I get it. A lot of people, you know, they struggle to understand how Jesus could forgive a pedophile, or how he could forgive a murderer, or how it... I get it. On a logical, human level, it doesn't make sense to forgive these types of people. But what that is self-righteous judgment. When you are in Christ, you know how God can change you, how you can be set free, how you do not have to be bound and live in your sin no more, how you can walk in righteousness and holiness. And so we don't judge people according to what they've done in the past. If we can see the fruits of their salvation, if we can see that they have changed, if we can see that Christ has truly entered into their hearts, because we know it's real. And from an outside perspective, from the world, we are hesitant to believe that. Because if you haven't experienced the love, the transforming love of Christ in your own life, it's going to be very hard and very difficult for you to believe and understand that this is something that takes place. But it is very real, it's very true, and it's happening to millions of people worldwide. Christ is redeeming people. He is freeing people from their sin. He's lifting them out of bondage. And he can do it for you. He can do it for anyone, every single person. One of the examples I love to use is the Apostle Paul. My goodness, that man. He used to go around killing Christians. That was his, you know, choice of a fun activity to do. He was persecuting Christians, killing them. He gets radically saved and he becomes a follower of Christ. And today he contributed to a good large section of the New Testament. Transformed. I'm in awe of Paul's words, of Paul's books in the Bible. You know, but that's what he does. That is what Jesus does. That is the goodness of God. Redemption isn't about cleaning yourself up. Many people think, I can't come to Christ. I need to clean myself up first. I need to deal with this in my life. I need to deal with that. No. Redemption is about God coming down and meeting you exactly where you are, pulling you out of that. Him getting the glory. This is where Jesus gets the glory, where he has pulled you out of where you are and made you new. And made you whole. I can think of so many testimonies where Jesus has done that. I used to suffer with mental health every single other week. It was like I was stuck in a cycle. I was stuck in a cycle of depression. Mind you, depression has ran in the females in my family. It's been in my bloodline. Every other week, without fail, I would go through a cycle of depression. And how I used to combat that is I would say to people, you know, I'm going through it this week. And how I would get out of that is I'd just spend a few days rotting away in bed, doing nothing. And then I'd feel better in a few days. Since I got saved, I have not experienced that. The only time I felt depressed is when I fell into sin and I'm condemning myself. Other than that, that was gone immediately. Depression, that was a spirit. These things keeping you bound. You are not depressed. You don't have ADHD. You do not have these things. It is a spirit, and it is a spirit that is trying to keep you bound. It's trying to keep you away from Jesus. Jesus can set you free from all those things. There is nothing that he cannot set you free from. I don't care what it is that you have. I don't care what sickness you have. I don't care. I don't care what they've prescribed you with. I don't care if you have to take 50 pills a day. I don't care. He can set you free from every mental addiction. He can heal you. He can heal the cancer in your body. He can heal the breast cancer. He can heal the epilepsy. He can heal all forms of sickness. He can heal you from the inside out. That is the God that I serve. That is Jesus Christ Almighty. That is what he came to do. Getting a little bit passionate. I'm getting a little bit passionate, but guys, Jesus came to set you free. You do not have to be bound by this world. You do not have to be bound and stuck in sin. You don't have to be stuck in a relationship with a man searching for love when the love of Christ can fill you. That also used to be me from the age of 13, relationship after relationship after relationship after relationship, always in a relationship, never single, searching for a love, filling a void that only Christ could fill. Now I'm in a place where if I'm in a relationship, if I'm not, I don't care. As long as it's the will of God, that is it. I'm not desperate for a man. I'm not desperate for marriage. I'm not desperate for attention. In fact, I don't want attention from a man if it's not my husband. I don't want it. Don't look at me. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't crave it. Jesus can set you free from these things. He can fill those voids. He can fill those holes. And he wants to. You just have to let him. You have to be open. You have to be willing to believe that there is a God out there that loves you that much, that he will fill your innermost desires, your innermost needs. He will fill them. You don't have to keep filling them with men. You don't have to keep filling them with people that hurt you. You don't have to keep filling them with these substances. Substances. You don't have to. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I need you to get it. I know there's someone listening right now. I know because it's in my spirit. I know there is someone listening right now and you are stuck and you are on the fence. God wants to pull you out of that fence. Even thoughts of self-harm that have been going through your mind. God wants to heal you. It is a demonic attack. It is an attack of the enemy to make you feel that your life is not worth living. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And God wants to do so much with it. He wants to use it. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you happiness. And you can have all of those things in Christ. You don't need these things from the world. A relationship is a carnal thing. It's a beautiful thing, but it's a carnal thing. Money, we need it, but it's a carnal thing. When you have Jesus, you are content with whatever your circumstances are. When you truly have Jesus, you are content. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ is his name. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Right, and then I'm going to wrap it up now. I don't know how long I've been speaking for, but why this, the last segment is why some people struggle to accept the redemption of Christ. This is very common, you know, in atheists and people who practice a lot of religions. Their number one thing is, how could a man die for me? It doesn't make sense. How can we be forgiven and our past just be erased and that's it? A lot of people, like I said before, they hold murderers and they hold paedophiles on this pedestal of their sin is so great and so grand and so severe that they don't deserve a second chance. They don't deserve to be redeemed. And I'll say it again, that is of self-righteous judgment. That is not the judgment of God. That is not how he views things. And when you don't understand the redemption power of Christ, you will not understand how those things can be forgiven, but they can be. And I'm going to touch on Islam. If you know me, many of you know that topic is very close to home. Having been someone who looked into Islam for a long time, you know, it's something that's very close to home. Living in a city where there is plenty of Muslims, and this is not anything against the people, and that's what I want people to understand. This isn't anything towards the people that practice Islam. I love every person that practices Islam. I pray for you. I want you all to come into the knowledge of Christ. I want you all to experience the love of Christ. Islam fails to accept that Jesus is our Savior. They don't understand it, which, when you line that up with what the five pillars of Islam is, it is a works-based religion. If you pray enough, if you fast, when it's Ramadan, enough, if you give to charity, if you follow certain dietary requirements, you don't eat pork, you don't drink alcohol, then, and you learn to do those things well with discipline, then you're okay, and then you will be granted a certain place in heaven depending on how well you did those things. And you know, if you wasn't considered a good Muslim, then you'd probably go to a different tier of heaven. And so, you know, I understand how accepting and believing that is a lot easier for someone. And I'm not speaking about those who are born into Islam. That's a whole nother discussion. And I think it's very sensitive. It's a very sensitive topic. I'm talking to those who have reverted to Islam maybe later on in life. They weren't born into a Muslim family. They've reverted. And I think it's easy for ego, pride to be fed in those things, thinking that my place in heaven is earned by my good or bad deeds. You are able to kind of label yourself a good or bad Muslim. You know, in Christianity, there's no good or bad Christians. There's just Christian and non-Christian, and you're able to identify a Christian by the fruits. And we believe that no one is good, not one, because that's what the Bible says. None of us are good. We are only made good by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's what makes us a Christian. And so, you know, there's key differences here. The only thing I am going to say on it is, I'm going to use scripture, and it says, God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And that's quite literally what he has done. It's what he will continue to do. And, you know, there's not just Islam, there's Buddhism, there's Sikhism, there's, I don't know. I think there's so many. I don't even know how many religions there are. There must be loads. There's Judaism. There's all these different practices that we can follow. Obviously, Islam is the second biggest religion, hence why Christians and Islam are always going back to back, because, you know, it's quite a thing. But the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, and he will continue to do so. And I hope from this episode, what you can take from it is, you're not saved by works. We are saved by the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the love of God. We fast because we want to draw near to God. We are told to pray without season and to be in continual prayer. We're not told to pray at certain times a day, at certain hours, and to pray in a certain position, and to, no, it's not religious. We pray because we know that prayer works. We know we have to intercede. We know we have to pray for people. We know when we pray, people get healed. We know when we pray, mountains are moved. We know when we pray, doors are opened, and the enemy cannot shut a door that God has opened. So we know when we pray, God is on the move. And I want to encourage every Christian, up your prayer life, up your prayer game, up your fasting game. You know, when we do these things, when we fast, we're not public with it, we're not vocal with it. You know, when we pray, do it in the secret place. We spend time with God, intentional time. We allow God to build our spirit, man. We know that we are not defiled by what goes into our mouth, but by every word spoken that comes out of our mouth, because we also know that every word spoken that comes out of our mouth is a reflection of what is in our hearts. Which goes back to the point of, we are born into sin. We have hidden sin in our hearts. And how that is exposed is through the words of the things that we say. It's exposed through the way that we respond and we react to people. It's exposed through anger and all of these things. But when you work, you let God work in your heart. When you move yourself, when you decrease yourself and you allow God to increase in you, God can move. God can allow him to move. People who have also experienced trauma and abuse struggle to accept that there is a God that loves them so much, that they struggle to accept that there is a Father in heaven who loves them, who cares. They struggle also to accept that if there is a God, why do bad things happen again? A simple answer to that is, God did not intend for bad things to happen. But when man chose sin, sin came into the world and made things evil. The world is evil because of the hand of man. because of the sinful decisions we wake up every single day and we decide to do. We decide to rebel against God, sin comes in. That is not a result of God's doing. That is a result of man living in disobedience to God. And I know things hurt. I have been hurt. I have been hurt so many times by so many people, family members, mom, dad, people closest to me. I used to wear that hurt as a medal. That was something that justified my behaviors. That was something that I walked around with pride, because I understand it's easy and it's comforting to walk around with that just weighing on your shoulders. As I said, it is heavy. It's a heavy burden to carry. You don't have to carry it no more. Jesus will. But you have to turn to him. You have to believe in him. Believe that he loves you. Believe that he wants to set you free. And he will give you a new family. When you are birthed into the family of Jesus, we are brothers and sisters. You are given a new family. And yes, not everyone does the best job of being that, you know, being that family member, being that brother and sister in Christ. We fall short. And it doesn't mean that you will never get hurt again. But I promise you will feel the love of God and he will change your life. I don't time these episodes, so I don't know how long I've been waffling for, but I'm going to draw it to a close. And I just want to say, if you feel that you are too far gone for Jesus, I want to remind you again, you are not. No one is too far gone. If he can save me, he can save you. If he can save Paul, he can save you. If he can save the woman caught in adultery and forgive her, he can save you. His love runs deep, his mercy runs deep, and his grace runs even deeper. Heaven rejoices when one sinner is saved. We rejoice when a sinner is saved because we know the mighty impact that it's going to have. We know that chains are going to be broken. We know that the devil has lost one more. Hallelujah. We know these things. And just to kind of relax the podcast a little bit, you know, I'm no theologian. I don't know the Bible back to front, inside and out, like some people do. Oh, the devil also knows the Bible back to front, inside and out, right? But one thing you will probably notice about me is that I am passionate. I am passionate about seeing people come to Christ. I am passionate about seeing brothers and sisters get deeper in their walk and that God gets the glory. I am passionate about our kids being raised in homes that love the Lord. I'm so passionate. I'm passionate that we stomp sin in its face and Jesus gets the victory. I'm so passionate about these things, you know. And like I said in the first episode, we are saved to serve. Remember that. So today, if you're hearing this message and you're feeling encouraged, speak to someone. Speak to someone about the redemption of Christ. Let them know. Let them know. Sit them down. Have a conversation with them. Try and answer their questions. Pray for them. Go after the lost and win one for Jesus. Win a soul for Jesus. Anyway, I want to thank you all for tuning in to today's episode. I hope that it has been helpful. I hope that it blesses someone. I hope that you may have a deeper understanding. Not even I hope, I pray that you have a deeper understanding of the redemptive power of Christ. I pray that you will feel and know his love. I pray that you will know that his love runs deep for you. I pray that he wants you to accept him into your heart. I pray that you will, and I pray that your life will be changed by just one encounter with Jesus. Amen. If you were encouraged by this episode, please let me know in the comments. Let's engage with one another. If you have any questions, if you have any rebuttals, don't be afraid to message me. I'm happy to have a conversation with anyone who wants to have one. But yeah, I hope you guys will have an amazing week, and I will see you again soon in another episode. Take care, God bless.